afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we are going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018, and of course, we also have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment on the program today. We got a full hour packed full of news. First, I would like to say good afternoon to my co-host, Dave Allen. Good afternoon, Dave.
Melody, back at you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We've been saying Happy New Year all year long, or all week long, I should say. So thank you for joining me today. And you will be joining us Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays for Financial Survival. We'll talk a little bit about that after the first segment of the program with Wendy. So first, let's go ahead and get right to the market report today. And gold prices today, there was a little bit of pressure on them today. The last minute down 250, not bad. Still holding above 13 at $1,315. Silver was up most of the day, down a couple pennies, $17.22. Platinum had a big day, up 14. That's the first time we've seen platinum gain against all the other metals. So platinum was up $14, about 1.5% at 961. Palladium was down 10 at 1,086. And for those of you who don't have platinum and would like to get some platinum, I mean, as long as it's trading this far below gold, and even below almost, you know, 100 points plus below palladium, it's a great buy at this point level. So give us a call at 1-800-375-418. If you don't have platinum to your portfolio, now's the time to diversify. The USDX today, of course, with the big drops we've seen for the past couple of days, was stronger, 0.27, but 92.13. Crude oil, big day in crude oil, and I'd have to point to Iran on that situation, 61.78, up 1.41. Paper markets today, I believe we're all hitting records. You have the Dow up 98 points, 24,922. The NASDAQ was up 58, 7,065. And the S&P is up 17 at 2,713. 10-year yield still holding at 2.45%. Pressure on the euro, of course, 120, down 0.33. You can hear the talking heads talk about profit taking and so forth, but so it's down a little bit, 0.33 at 1.20. European and Asian markets, not a lot of change over there. Germany was up the most, but still under 1%. And there's a lot of news going on. But we're going to talk to Wendy Wilson first, because she has a lot of information to share with the listeners. Good afternoon, Wendy, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Melanie and Dave. Good to see you.
Back at you.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the wellness programs. We've touched on those before, but we've got new data and some new action out of the healthcare industry with professionals in healthcare kind of pushing back on this. And if you're also our listeners, if they're on our newsletter list, they do get this really neat diagram that shows you a graph of how this healthcare system is really being torn apart and rebuilt in a certain way, and it started in the 70s. So anyway, wellness programs are kind of healthcare's way of overreaching, and the privacy of an individual's choice is going to be removed. So healthcare has become this tool of power. So because everyone at some point will need medical care, it's become the leverage those who seek power and they want to grab it. And so how many people do you know, Melanie and Dave, that have kept a job just because of the health insurance, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Too many.
Right. So this power tool called healthcare has really been in the works since the 1970s. Affordable Care Act started then. So it started in 76 when Nixon signed in the HMO Act, as I've mentioned before. And, you know, some people are breathing a sigh of relief with the tax reform President Trump has put through Congress. But they're not removing the Affordable Care Act mandate, but it's not going away. The Affordable Care Act is still going to be there. So if history is our teacher, this is just a little bump in the road of total control over everybody through health care. And I'm going to give you some details in a minute. Now, some people are standing up. It was reported in November of 2017, as few as 50 and as many as 75 hospital employees working for the Minnesota Accentra Health refused to comply to get the flu shot, and therefore they've been fired. So Accentra Health operates about 15 hospitals and 75 clinics in the four states, in Minnesota, Idaho, Wisconsin, and North Dakota. So if you recall, I mentioned this workplace wellness program thing would be the way the government mandates businesses and employees to comply with treatments like flu shots or other vaccines. So Accentra Health has a mandatory flu shot policy through their employee wellness plan. So the employees are offered three ways they can comply with their mandate. They could get the flu shot, or they can obtain a religious exemption or a medical exemption. And both those exemptions are kind of difficult to come by. Mm-hmm. And the exemptions are really just a way of limiting the liability to the employer. So now get this, the Minnesota Department of Health doesn't mandate flu vaccines for healthcare employees, and it leaves it up to the employer. However, they do post requirements explaining what it would take to get a legal medical exemption. The individual has to secure a laboratory report confirming he or she already has antibody protection from the disease, and that would be specific titers. And also, they can have a licensed medical physician actually sign a document stating if they got the vaccine, it was contraindicated for their medical reports and standing. So the religious exemption, even more of a challenge. And as we know, in our current world, all it takes is a legal argument that says the religious belief is thrown out because it puts other people at risk in society. And anybody taking a religious exemption is probably going to wind up in court. And who can afford that, right?
Yeah, truly. And you know, when you talk about the medical, I can remember this goes back probably 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It was in one of the eastern states. I don't know if it was New Jersey, Virginia. One of my clients, his wife was pregnant, and they wanted her, and she was a nurse. And they fought that tooth and nail.
Right.
And and she was pregnant, and they supplied all kinds of medical, and she lost her job.
Absolutely. Well, good for her for protecting her unborn, because medical textbooks, you know, in the 90s said absolutely never give a pregnant woman a vaccine. And then all of a sudden that changed. And they have no medical evidence to back up why they changed it. Here's a quote. This is going to rock your world. Listen carefully. This is from the Journal of Health Affairs, January 2014. It says, "Workplace health and wellness programs have become increasingly common in the United States. The Federal Affordable Care Act was designed to promote these programs, and in an attempt to reduce, of course, health care costs." So this isn't about making everybody well. This is about saving money. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. And it's all about power and control. So, and the U.S. Supreme Court said in 1905, it affirms the legal authority of a state government to pass a law requiring citizens residing within the state to use vaccines if the state considers mass use of the vaccine necessary to protect the public health. So that's a broad general argument that people usually get shot down in court with. So, but there are a lot of reasons for these wellness programs. Numerous reasons employers are agreeing to the wellness plan that the government is expecting them to implement is that it's based on money. The policy may state it wants to look after everybody's health at work and reduce medical costs, but it's really an entity to save the employer money. So in January 2014, Accentra Health published their new employee wellness plan guidelines, and without any delay, they state the plan's going to cut health care costs and reduce the money paid out for sick days. So within the employee wellness program, they prime the pump to explain why and how the employer will be taking a more active role in the employee's lifestyle. Here's a quote from their plan. It says, while workplace wellness programs have the potential to reduce health risks and cut healthcare spending, employers and policymakers should not take for granted that the lifestyle management components of the program can reduce costs and lead to savings overall. So did you catch that lifestyle? They're going to start dictating your lifestyle.
Yeah, is there a problem though with a company who wants to save money because healthcare is certainly very expensive? But I remember when I used to work and healthcare was a very important part of my employment package, you chose higher deductibles if you wanted to lower the cost, or you would have less coverage in a particular area. There were exclusions.
Right.
Now, if you're a little chubby, what happens if you gain weight? What if you become chubby?
We've already seen
in today's world.
Right, we've already seen over in the UK across the pond what happens over there usually comes over here. Already people that smoke and people that are overweight or obese, they won't get medical treatment at the hospitals like surgeries. The government one-payer system has told the hospitals if you give these people surgery, you're not going to get paid. So they're telling them quit smoking and lose your weight or don't get any healthcare treatment. So there's a lifestyle dictation there. Mm-hmm. Now, in January 2014, the Journal of Health Affairs reported that employee wellness management plans will offer a monthly savings to the employers of $136 per employee, or a 29% drop in their cost. And that's a whole lot of monetary incentive for a hospital authority to even fire staff for noncompliance. So, and to sweeten the compliance pot, employers offered a $160 a month reduction in an employee's share of their healthcare costs that's taken out of their check. So, but then you got to jump through all these hoops to keep it. See?
Yeah.
So they're shooting for 100% compliance, and they want to get, you know, everybody get a flu shot. And we already reported that MedImmune LLC says you get any kind of viral vaccine, you shed that virus for about 28 days to other people. So it's about spreading viruses, not containing them. Now, I was telling you about the nurses. The nurses in Minnesota, at Duluth, Minnesota Nurses Association, they filed a suit against Accentra Health to get their jobs back and also to get back pay for being fired because they declined to get a mandatory flu vaccine. I hope they win. I really do. And because their state health department doesn't mandate the flu shots. It's just, you know, up to the employer. Now, apparently some of the nurses filed exemptions prior to their November 10th deadline. There seems to be some question as to the willingness of Accentra Health to review and accept them. They said this, we allow very limited medical and religious exemptions, end of quote. So, like I said, you know, I think it's just there on paper to limit their liability, but let's follow the breadcrumb trail. If we follow the trail of laws that are creating these mandates for vaccines over the last 77 years, what do we see the authorities stating? You had to have vaccines for kids in order to attend public school, and then it was for private school, and then it was for daycare centers, and then it was for dormitory living for colleges and university students, and then also for traveling abroad. And so now this adult vaccine agenda is started with obviously voluntary flu vaccines, but now they're starting to make that mandatory through employment areas, and they're starting with healthcare professionals. But I think employment wellness plans of all occupations are going to require flu shots in order to stay employed and also to get your socialized government benefits. They're already seeing that in Australia. If they don't get their flu shots, if the kids aren't up to date on their vaccines, they get cut off from any kind of government subsidies.
They do now, or is that now? Did you say that was?
That's happening now in Australia.
Australia.
If parents don't want their kids to get all these vaccines, but let's say they're on unemployment or they're on Social Security or some other, you know, disability, then they get cut off. So,
well, ladies, I think we can agree that these mandatory programs are, you know, create a very slippery slope.
They do.
Now, on the other hand, I think we can also agree that probably most workplace wellness programs are well-intentioned. Certainly not all of them, particularly those like you're talking about, Wendy, that requiring particularly these vaccinations that some people do not have religious or medical
exemption
doing so, but still feel strongly just as a right of privacy to not do them. When I was in charge, I was in charge of an organization of about 250 people in my former life. We implemented a workplace wellness program slash safety program for the employees. There was a pragmatic, I mean, the part of our reasoning was to lower the increasing health care premiums, one of the major benefits we provided, and to lower our workers' compensation premiums as well. But the pragmatic part of it was a healthier workplace, it's a more productive workplace, less people taking off. So I view ours as a well-intentioned program. It was all voluntary, however.
Right. Well, and
cessation and, or weight
right,
loss.
Right, but they're taking on a new shape. Just like over in the UK, I mean, if you smoke, they're going to be charging you higher premiums, and you can't get surgery. If you're overweight, they're charging higher premiums, and you can't get surgery. So
I can justify the higher premiums. I can't justify.
That won't happen here.
Refusal of care is absolutely.
Especially if they're paying, you know, they're paying their premium.
Paying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a government-run thing over there. It's a one-payer system. We don't have that quite yet, but I'm just saying that's the risk we're looking at if we go that way, because I hear from people all over the place, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and they tell me they can't even share information on, natural healing stuff. It's against the law. They could be arrested.
That is amazing. So. But it's important, and you know, a lot of this information isn't shared. It all sounds good. It all sounds like, yes, we want a healthier nation, we want a healthier workplace, we want a healthier this and a healthier that. But look at the losses. Look at what we lose, and look what is required and mandated for us. And that's
well. The next show we do, we'll talk about mortality rates in the U.S. for the second straight year. They have gone up.
Yes. Hey, we're just about out of time. Why don't you give us some contact information, Wendy?
Absolutely. You can call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog and get empowered. The number is 866-229-3663. Immune boosting, organ cleansing, and a whole lot more. Take the power back. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye.
Next week.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you just listened to Wendy Wilson, and I'm here with my co-host on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Dave Allen, a new voice to the program, and I want to thank Dave for joining us today, and he'll also be doing the interview with James Corbett. You'll hear that on Friday, so a lot of exciting and interesting. It's going to be a great 2018. It's already started off great, and I can only imagine it's going to get a little bit better, Dave. And I just want to, I don't know, there's a lot of crazy things are going on. Dave's going to touch on some of them with Iran and so forth, but it really is amazing to me. I believe I never liked the guy, Steve Bannon, and he is publishing a book about his time at the White House, and it is definitely not flattering of Donald Trump, of President Trump. He talks about money laundering. He talks about the campaign. He talks about one of Donald Trump's friends is calling him names and so forth. And then we have Trump came out and unloaded on Bannon. He released a statement, and he said, President Trump said Steve Bannon has nothing to do with him or his presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. And this is coming from Donald Trump, the president. Steve was a staffer who worked for me after I had already won the nomination by defeating 17 candidates, often described as the most talented field ever assembled in the Republican Party. So he goes on and on. He says, now that he is on his own, Steve is learning that winning isn't as easy as he made it look. But this started coming out today after the release of statements from a guy by the name of Wolf. The title of Bannon's book is Fire. Well, it's Wolf's book, but it's based on Bannon's time in the White House. It's titled Fire and Fury Inside Trump's White House. And so it's been going on back and forth all day today, kind of interesting. I don't care for Bannon. Some of his politics I agree with, some of them I don't. And he always looked a little rough, certainly didn't seem to be in the same clean category as what you would find the Trumps. And Steve Bannon's claim to fame, I guess, was Seinfeld. You know, he supposedly got lucky there. And
Breitbart News.
That's correct. That's correct. After Seinfeld. Something else going on that's speaking of the group, Manafort, he's suing Mueller. He's suing Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And he is also suing the Department of Justice in U.S. federal court. The actions of the DOJ and Rosenstein in issuing the appointment order and Mueller's action pursuant to the authority the order granted him were arbitrary and not in accordance with the law, the suit reads, and it goes on and on. So they are striking back, and it just gets crazier. easier. And he says they unlawfully exceeded their authority. And
Melody, welcome to the third day of the new year.
Yes. Yeah, this is very true. I mentioned chaotic. It's even going to be more so. Plus, in addition to, there's a fire at the Clintons' house. This is just developing. The fire breaks out at Hillary and Bill's Clinton house in Chappaqua. And it was reported about 2:50 p.m. They've lived there for about 20 years. It's almost a $2 million home. It was a bedroom fire. Of all the places for the Clintons to have a fire is in the bedroom.
Can't start a fire without a spark.
Yes. And supposedly he was, I don't know if he smokes anymore. Does he still smoke? I guess it was Obama that smoked.
Yeah, I wasn't. Oh, I know that Bill had an affinity for cigars, but... so perhaps he was, you know, chopping on a stogie upstairs, and who knows?
Who knows? But so some of the breaking news and odd stories for January 3rd, and it's there's a lot of things to talk about, but those are certainly the big headline news, as is the Arctic blast that is looking to, they have snow in Florida, sub-zero chills across the deep south, and certainly moving up the east coast. And fingers crossed, there's supposed to be hurricane force winds, and hopefully I'm not affected by any of the, as far as power and the ability to do programs tomorrow. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. So as far as financial news today, I think the big story has been oil. And I think that is also in relationship to what is going on in Iran. And I think you had, let's start from the beginning, Dave. Do you want to do just a brief history again, as you're new and to the program and to many of the listeners? Would you just like to do a brief before we get into Iran, perhaps?
Sure, absolutely. For top of the new year to you again. And hello, listeners. As Melody said, it's going to be a great 2018 for gold and silver investors. And you heard it right here on Financial Survival Radio. As I mentioned last week, I'm a regular contributor to Discount Gold and Silver Trading's American Survival Newsletter, and to our new blog called What a Rush of Gold and Silver. Also a community activist, business consultant, and a lifelong investor. I enjoy working with others to help them reach their financial, business, and personal goals. I earned my finance chops over 30 years ago working with the Congressional Budget Office in Washington. After leaving D.C. for the real world, I spent 20-plus years as a chief financial officer and city manager. And besides following how gold and silver are affected by today's zany political economy, I enjoy riding my bike with my wife, hanging out with my son and daughter, and walking our dogs.
And they are a lovely family. But so it's great to have you here. Let's go ahead and get into some of the news of the day. And if you don't mind, I think one of the big things is the U.S.-Iran situation. I have seen where the U.S. is sort of, not pushing for the a revolution by the younger people, but certainly paying very close attention to it. You have the anti-government protests, and of course this gives the administration, President Trump, a new reason to scrap the Iran nuclear deal later this month. So it is a risky move, and I certainly believe this is one of the reasons we see that big impact on oil today.
Yeah, I mean, the largest impacts to hit the country in almost a decade have swept across Iran in recent days, and as you mentioned, sparking violent retaliation from government forces there. And the president's provocative tweets over the weekend and today have further inflamed the hostilities, as as Tehran crackdown intensifies. Now, with a rising death toll and growing international attention, the anti-government demonstrations present an unpredictable challenge for Iranian authorities. And of course, they swiftly blame the nation's enemies. What are these protests about? Well, they initially erupted in Mashhad, Iran's second largest city, last Thursday. Hordes of Iranians took to the streets, mainly young people, but not all. They angrily were protesting dismal economic conditions, rising inflation, unemployment, the lack of new jobs, and allegations of widespread government and military corruption. I do believe it sounds like the protesters are disappointed by the limited economic improvement in Iran since the 2015 nuclear agreement with six other countries, including the U.S. Listeners will remember, after decades of diplomatic friction between Iran and the West, they agreed to curb its nuclear program in exchange for relief from economic sanctions. With it came apparently a cash payment of several hundred million dollars, with a lot more possibly to come. President Hassan Rouhani, who was a key architect of the deal and who was reelected in May, had promised his people that the deal would revive the economy and create millions of jobs. But as protesters are saying, they're not seeing it. Trita Parsi, who's president of the National Iranian American Council, told CNN over the weekend, the nuclear deal is overwhelmingly supported by the Iranian public, but there is an expectation that much more economic development would come out of it. And so in recent days, the demonstrations have spread. Now dozens of cities, including the capital, Tehran. There's a protester who was interviewed by the BBC yesterday from one of the smaller cities, who was saying Iranian people's demands have been put off too long. None of the authorities have allowed a platform for demands to be heard. I'm quoting, protesters are decent, they're not saboteurs, but jobs and income are merit. No protester deserves. According to the New York Times, Tehran bureau chief Thomas Erdbrink, who's talking for decades, those living in Iran's countryside, the small villages, were regarded as the backbone of the country's Islamic regime. They tended to be conservative, didn't like change, they were pious followers of sober Islamic lifestyle promoted by the state. But in less than a decade, all that's changed. 15 years out, apparently empty villages with residents pouring to nearby cities, where unfortunately they often struggle to find jobs and build their families. So now these small towns have led this uprising that has thrown Iranian politics and life into chaos. And they've done the unthinkable, Melody. They've unified a lot of American leaders in cheering them on.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's really kind of bizarre. My big question, what really is starting this? Who is behind it? Who is the agitator and who is getting this? You know, it is true. I mean, there is just so much behind the scenes that we really don't know about. I mean, we have, you know, the agreement was with China, Russia, you know, and it's like, yeah, they're going to be protective of Iran. And same as Britain, France, and Germany. So I'm really not sure. I'm not just going to say that the people are uprising because they haven't. It hasn't trickled down. That might be part of it, and it might be part that you know, the agreement. Are they that upset that the agreement wasn't certified back in October? I don't know yet. I haven't come to the conclusion. I'm sure there's a lot of theories going on around of who is actually behind this. And you look at the relationships on you know, you bring in the Saudis and you look at the oil prices and you know, I mean, I'm not a Middle Eastern analyst, but I find this interesting that you have this taking place in Iran at the same time that you have, you know, all of the rest of the Middle East ready to explode. This happening shortly thereafter, you know, we declared that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And, you know, so there's connections to all of it. And I'm not just quite sure, and I don't, and it'd be interesting to find, to get the details of what truly is going on, and maybe it's just too early to tell at this point, but they're all connected somehow, some way. And
well,
you know,
lest we forget our own all too recent experience with the foreign meddling in our own national elections last year, who knows if or to what extent similar things are roiling up some of the grassroots in Iran. I mean, obviously, internet access is a lot more difficult in most of the Middle East, but
yeah,
in major cities especially, there is access, and you know, who knows if some of those opinions are being manipulated by some foreign entities.
I mean, you've got the Yemen rebels, you got the Houthi rebels, you have Iran supporting, you know, terrorist groups, Hamas, and so forth. I mean, you know, it's you know, and yes, we might have pushed back. We might have pushed back the ISIS and so forth, but is this creating this other, you know, if you have a, you know, if you push in one area, you might expect, you know, you might have, you know, reaction in some other area. But what I do know, you know, maybe this isn't my expertise. What I do know, it's really good for gold. It's not really good for the United States. And it does bring us closer to war. And I don't think there's any listener that doesn't believe we're going to be in war in a very short period of time. I thought we would be in war by the end of 2017. And certainly not for a lack of trying in various places around the world. I have, you know, I was wrong in my prediction for 2017, but we're a lot closer, very close. Somewhere, somehow, something's going to break loose, and people really do need to be prepared. And I don't think you're going to see record numbers in our stock markets. I don't think you're going to see record numbers in Bitcoin should war break out. So again, it's a time to get protected. It's time to convert some of those paper assets into gold and silver. And we're going to go on and move out of this area to talk a little bit more about you know, your finances and some of the other economic news that's out there today. We're going to be heading into a break here shortly, so we'll be returning with that. And this hour is certainly going by very quick, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. So we'll be back right after this short break.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I am Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And for all your gold and silver coin needs, give Discount Gold and Silver a call at 1-800-375-4188. We're continuing this special on the 2018 Silver Eagles. Yes, 20 or more, no shipping, so it's a great buy. We got great prices. They should be out in just a couple of weeks. So get your order in so we can get you shipped as soon as they're received. 1-800-375-4188. And make sure you go to the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to the program live or the archives right from the website. And I'm thinking, I know I said I shouldn't even make any announcements until I know the exact date, but we're still working on that website. It should be soon, I promise you. And, Dave, we're going to talk a little bit about the Eurasia Group. Both the president and not both the president, but the president and founder, they've released, he released top risks for 2018. And since we're at the beginning of the year, perhaps we can go over some of those as we listen to, again, the elite's view of what they think is going to happen.
Yeah, sure. The Ian Bremmer, as you mentioned, the president and founder of Eurasia, and their chair, Cliff Kupchan, talk about the big picture for 2018 across the globe. Generally, they say 2018 doesn't feel good, even though the markets are soaring and the economy isn't bad. Citizens everywhere are divided. And national governments aren't doing much governing. And the global order, as we're seeing in Iran, seems to be coming unglued. They say this is important because in the 20 years since they started the Eurasia Group, if they had to pick 1 year for a big unexpected crisis, it feels like 2018. And they say that apologetically. As Mel mentioned, not good for the U.S., not good necessarily for the world, depending upon what it is. It does signal, though, a very opportune time for investors to be beefing up gold and silver products for your portfolio. Among the risks, and there are 10 of them that they point out in their report, but among the risks that concern Bremmer and his colleagues, the first one, I think these are in no particular order, but this one resonates with a lot of us. China loves a vacuum. That is, China setting international standards, you know, on trade and investment, tech values and security, with less resistance than ever before. General accidents. As they say, it's impossible to ignore the risk of a major crisis today, because there are just too many places where a misstep or misjudgment could provoke serious international conflict. And Melody, one only has to look at the nuclear, my nuclear button is bigger than yours, tit for tat between our president and North Korea's over the weekend to see that.
I know.
There's the global tech cold war, as they're calling it. They say achieving dominance in emerging technologies is the world's most important battle for economic power. Russia seems to have gotten that a long time ago. China, right behind them. They also think that we're in a period where American leadership is questionable because of a White House that's distracted from the Mueller investigation. Interestingly, although sort of playing below the radar, they believe 2018 will also be a defining moment for Mexico's longer-term outlook, which they think will depend on the outcome of the NAFTA renegotiation, as well as the country's presidential election this coming July. And of course, U.S. and Iran relations, if the nuclear agreement fails, if the president chooses to decertify and impose new economic sanctions with the Congress, with or without the UN, probably without, the world is certainly going to enter a new and dangerous dynamic. Now, they also see the erosion of institutions as a big problem, particularly across the developed world, where trust in bureaucratic institutions has declined.
Isn't that a good thing?
Steeply. Well, you know,
that's a good thing. Yay!
Always good to have a healthy skepticism and distrust in authority. Now, you know, maybe it's, I mean, they view, though, that if it's a result of direct political interference in the professionals' work, the bureaucrats are sometimes referred to, that's certainly up for debate. Then there's protectionism 2.0, they call it. Anti-establishment movements have forced policymakers all over the world to shift. Go ahead, Mel.
A lot of this is good, but they're looking at it from the elite side, which is bad for them. Or, you know, they're not really looking at it as far as, you know, the peoples or the citizens and so forth. They're the ones who have stirred all this up. You know, they're the ones that have really created a lot of the problems that we're facing today. And, you know, I know you and I haven't talked about it much, but a lot of it is the what I call the agenda. And so now their agenda and their is being threatened to some degree. Well, and certainly they're going to call it, you know, chaotic and, you know, problems that they face. But yet for a lot of people, the way they think, it's a good thing that they won't have the control anymore. Or is this just a blip in the road and they'll get it back in 4 years?
Hard to say. I mean, you know, obviously, regardless of what political fence you sit on, what your life philosophy is, you're going to do your best to the extent you have the floor and the wherewithal, as certainly the groups like the Eurasia Group and others do, and you know, in the big anonymous donors in U.S. politics, the Kochs of the world, you know, to the extent that they're going to try and manipulate public and world opinion, you know, to achieve their goals, they're going to do that. And I agree, this is to a large extent what they're doing here. Although there are some of these risks that I think, you know, we could look at from our own perspectives, you know, in a grassroots sense, and know that these are important things for us to follow. You know, these global tech Cold War, you know, whether it's you're talking about China's newly announced massive development into artificial intelligence and robotics, or Russia's manipulation of Western democracy, democratic elections. This affects all of us. So, I mean, it's while I talk about these things, I hope that we're not taking these things word for word. That it's important for us to take a step back and try and be critical of particularly these elite propaganda machines who are going to try and persuade us for their own end.
It's kind of like know your enemy.
Know your enemy. Yeah.
Know your enemy.
And hope,
or your enemy is your best, is your friend's friend, or is your.
I'm hoping that that you've met the enemy and he isn't, or she isn't yourself.
Yeah.
But
I think they are interesting. I think we're gonna be talking about all of those individual stories through the year. I think that, you know, and I know we want to move on and we want to talk about the dollar and the decline in the dollar and some more information about that. But we are going to be talking about Southern Asia. We are going to be talking about Africa's security. We are going to be talking about a lot of these things and how it affects us, each and every one of us, and how we can do to protect ourselves and what direction direction that we're heading. But let's go ahead and start talking about the U.S. dollar.
Well, where do you want to start? We know that last year wasn't a good year for the dollar, for the U.S. dollar.
We got about 7 minutes, so.
All right. Despite, traders being very optimistic after President Trump got elected and the Federal Reserve's best efforts, the dollar is still at its lowest level in 10 years. The stock market's at historical highs, with the Dow having risen about 25% last year, the S&P 20, and the NASDAQ 30. But as 2017 ended, the dollar was down more than 7% compared to other key currencies. Excuse me. Weak inflation and doubts over Mr. Trump's ability to deliver on his legislative promises have certainly contributed to our greenback's decline. This, together with strong economic growth and strict monetary policies by central banks and the global economy, have also played a pivotal role in the dollar's weakness. And further rate hikes by the Fed, by our own Federal Reserve, have looked powerless to stop it, the dollar's decline. Now, on the bright side, because of their unique, call it a seesaw relationship, this is good news for gold. When the dollar goes down, gold goes up. Gold increased last year due in large part to the dollar going down in value, and that trend's expected to continue into 2018. Now, with both Europe and China experiencing growth, the euro and the yen are also expected to advance further on the dollar next year. Aaron Brown, who heads asset allocation at UBS Asset Management, told Bloomberg that the economic growth we're seeing in Europe and also in the emerging markets and the rest of the world will likely cause the dollar to sell off again. While the world's economy is expected to grow by 3.7% in 2018, analysts expect the Fed to turn their attention to the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan. They believe that if the European Central Bank winds down its bond buying stimulus, even as the Fed unwinds part of its bond portfolio, the dollar, the U.S. dollar to euro gap, will likely widen even further. And tax cuts, Melody, are probably going to do little to change things. I mean, the tax bill just passed a week and a half ago. Some expect the new law could give the dollar a boost at the start of the year. Others are saying, while that's possible, the tax bill's potential dollar strengthening efforts aren't expected to last longer than 6 months, if even that. Certainly, by the end of the fiscal year, when we start to see the deficits and our debt further increase, and of course, depending on other events overseas. So there could be no lasting effect on all, on the dollar. At this point, the dollar decline seems to be a trend that's going to continue through all of this year. And again, that's good news for gold and silver investors. Because since the end of the gold standard in 1971, I believe, Melody, a falling dollar has had an inverse relationship with gold. So with experts predicting the dollar to fall further this year, investing in gold now, listeners, could give you a real nice return over the coming months. And the quicker you act, the bigger the payoff could be. and our team at Discount Gold and Silver Trading are standing by to help you in your transactions. Mel?
Yeah, I mean, we are ready. We have, there's no problem with availability for gold and silver. And I was reading a report from the U.S. Mint of last year. It was one of the slowest years for the Mint since 2007. And we all know what happened shortly thereafter. So gold is primed. I can't think of any of the fundamentals that affect gold that it just isn't ready to pop. Everybody knows with the fiat dollar, with our fiat currency, the dollar will just continue to get weaker. I mean, that's why a lot of these multinational corporations are showing great earnings, is because the dollar has dropped so much. And so, again, it's all part of the illusion that has been created that everything is doing great and it pushes those markets higher. And a lot of what's pushing those markets higher is with the falling dollars. We're beginning to see inflation. So we're going to continue to see inflation creep into the system, and a lot more than what they claim it is to be. Plus, we have the changeover of Janet Yellen, of the Federal Reserve Chairman. I mean, that there's just so much going on. It's just incredible that gold is... Just like the chairman of the CME said back in July, gold should be trading at $5,000 or $6,000 today with what's going on. And think how worse things have progressed since last July. So now gold should be $7,000 and $8,000 based on today's fundamentals, what's going on geopolitically around the world. So 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow with Butch Paul and Dave Allen. Thank you for joining me today. And we will talk again and share some news come Friday. So until then, listeners, be safe and God bless. Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.